WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. A Manhattan federal judge will today consider whether to continue blocking Elon Musk's Department of Government Efficiency from accessing sensitive Treasury Department payment systems. Attorneys general from 19 states say that allowing that would be a cybersecurity risk and could unlawfully block funds from reaching beneficiaries who don't align with President Trump's political agenda. More federal worker layoffs happening Thursday.
At the Department of Veteran Affairs alone, more than 1,000 new workers were dismissed. Overnight, the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau also firing term employees, with expectations that the rest may be fired today, leaving a skeleton staff of around 5%. The administration also targeting the Department of Education and the Environmental Protection Agency.
It's ABC's Rachel Scott in Washington. The vice president in Munich meeting with Ukrainian President Zelensky as Ukraine accuses Russia of a drone attack on the Chernobyl nuclear power plant. This is ABC News.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
For WRCE 107.7, I'm Joanne Krulotz. Governor Tony Evers is touring the state, visiting Head Start childcare providers. Civic Media's Melissa Kay has more.
On Wednesday, the governor visited locations in La Crosse, New Richmond, and Wisconsin Rapids. These visits highlight the Year of the Kid and the Evers administration's efforts to keep costs down for working families. Evers said Wisconsin's economy is strong because so many parents are able to stay in the workforce. Head Start programs are possible in part because of federal funds.
If Congress decides not to do Head Start, there's nothing we could do to kind of correct that mistake. That's a 60-year-old federal program. I just don't think the state could do any more than what I'm hoping they're going to do in this next legislative session.
The 2025-27 executive budget will include ongoing funding to make the Child Care Counts program permanent. This includes investing over $500 million aimed at lowering child care costs, supporting this critical industry, and investing in employer-sponsored child care. The lack of federal funding would have disastrous consequences for states and critical programs that support kids, families, and communities in Wisconsin.
It would be an unbelievable shame if the president decides, we're done with this. Moms and dads can take care of it. That would be horrible.
Governor Evers said Democratic legislators are in favor of funding child care, and he's hoping they can work in a bipartisan manner like they did with shared revenue and the Brewer Stadium.
We worked bipartisan in a bipartisan way. Hopefully child care counts will be one of those this time.
He said they just need a handful of people to understand how important child care is for our kids, our working families, and our economy. The budget will be published in the upcoming days.
For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulotz.
Marquette looking for back-to-back wins. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Marquette on the road at Villanova a week from tonight. Marquette fell to 18th after losing three in a row. Head coach Shaka Smart on hoping his guys can get another win next Friday night.
We've been through a tough stretch the last few games. You know, we have a lot of pride in this program, so we don't take kindly to losing, and we have a sense of urgency to grow and improve.
In the Big Ten, Wisconsin battles the Purdue Boilermakers tomorrow at noon in West Lafayette. NBA All-Star Weekend in San Francisco, Damian Lillard is there competing in the three-point tournament tomorrow night and the All-Star Game Sunday evening. Baseball, Freddie Peralta named the Brewers starting pitcher for opening day in New York against the Yankees.
Keep doing what we've been doing. Everything will start here now. Spring training, pitches and catcher, everything start here, like, you know, making everybody feel comfortable and just wait for the position players and pull all that together and get ready for the season.
That's the Brewers ace, Freddie Peralta, with Sports on Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
We have more snow on the way late today, tonight through Saturday and Saturday night. We could get 5 to 7 inches of accumulation by the time it all winds down late Saturday night. Today, breezy, 25, 29 with snow tomorrow. After all this, it's going to get really cold for much of next week. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it is 7.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Earl Ingram.
Mayor Johnson, we used to have a saying called the switcheroo, talking about one thing while behind the scenes there's a greater issue.
This man was elected president of the United States to focus in on making everyday life more affordable. But our push to remove lead service lines, our health department, are impacted by the things that the Trump administration have targeted since they've been in office. Yeah, it's been a huge switcheroo. It's not been about saving folks money. I mean, this is going to cause more pain.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Night Light, our pal Emerson Lehman from the WBAY Morning Show is in studio. Up-and-coming singer-songwriter Kaylin Cole performs live, and it's a bar band Friday night. Let's light it up.
Night Light with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. News from the Center, WRCE.
Good morning and welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Buck, Calvin Butenoff coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Friday, February 14th. Happy Valentine's Day.
Happy Valentine's Day.
The average price of a gallon of 2% milk in Wisconsin, $3.10. That's actually down 3 cents from yesterday. However, the average price of a dozen large eggs in Wisconsin, $5.86. That's up a penny from yesterday and up considerably from last week.
Very much so. We had a 32-cent rise this week.
So that's where we are with the prices. We're not going to belabor that. Mm-hmm. But another little reminder before we get into the show, and we have lots of stuff coming up for you today. Brad Schlaikowski from Courage MKE is going to be joining us after the 10:30 news to talk about the LGBTQ plus community, which is the community that they serve, and their concerns now that we are under a second Trump administration.
Yep.
Also, next hour, after the 11 o'clock news, Linda McMahon, having her confirmation hearings yesterday, she has some experience with schools.
She has more experience with wrestling.
Much more experience with wrestling. But yes, let's put her in charge of the Department of Education. We will be talking about that after 11 o'clock. And then something Vivek Ramaswamy said.
Who?
I know. Can we call him former Doge?
He's Doge adjacent.
He's Doge adjacent. Yeah, he's not part of Doge anymore. I never understood why a government agency dedicated to efficiency had two heads. But they don't anymore.
No.
But Vivek chiming in about what our kids need in schools.
Always got more opinions on the kids.
Yep.
The opinions are always of the times, too. They're very, very modern opinions. Kids can really identify with them.
As we always do at 11:30, we lighten things up a little bit. We're going to talk about whether or not you dream about work. I certainly do.
I have.
Galvin, we'll get to you after 11:30. We would love to know if you dream about work and what those dreams are.
Yeah.
That will be at 11:30. We will wrap it all up with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it's the Patooey edition.
What's that again?
Patooey.
Patooey
edition. If you ever have a thing you think should not be, send it in to Greg and me at Jane Says, JaneSays, Jane Says, at civicmedia.us. If you ever have a guest you think we should highlight on the show, some issue that's going on in your local community, I don't care how big or small, all across Wisconsin. And of course, complaints, please send them in. I read them all at Jane Says, JaneSays, at civicmedia.us. Well, after all the snow we had, we're not done yet. I was listening to you and Todd Alba this morning, filling in for Pat Kreitlow on Civic Media Mornings. Yeah, we got more snow coming. Brittany Merlot was on with you guys this morning. So it's supposed to start later on this afternoon. We do have a winter weather advisory kicking in southeastern Wisconsin from 6 p.m. tonight until 6 a.m. tomorrow. And it's expected to be pretty heavy at some times. So visibility might be an issue. 2 to 4 inches possible. Then we're going to have some more tomorrow. But tonight, I think, especially after work, as you head out of the office, maybe you can get out a little bit early. Mm-hmm. Build in some extra time. Just please be patient. And check 511wi.gov.
Yes.
Before you walk out the door. It's really a great resource that will show you every highway, every roadway in Wisconsin, what the conditions are, and where all the accidents are. So please take advantage of it. It's free. It's 511wi.gov, and you can also download that as an app. One of this starts with an article in Wisconsin Public Radio. Joe Schultz has the byline, steel and aluminum tariffs to drive up costs for Wisconsin manufacturers. Home builders less impacted by metal tariffs are now bracing for possible tariffs on Canada and Mexico. Donald Trump, of course, says tariffs the most beautiful word in the English language.
Yes, it
is. And the answer to all of our problems, apparently. Not everyone is welcoming these tariffs and expecting them to fix all our problems.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, there are many, even manufacturers here in Wisconsin, that are heavily dependent on items we get from other countries. Call the supply chain.
Yeah. We've had him on twice now, James Vanderloo, talking about the importance of, and we'll be having him on in the coming weeks, about how these tariffs affect Milwaukee companies. And one of the things he said that I will never forget was that the moment that Trump won, he was going to have to talk to companies about moving their companies to other countries, because they might be manufacturing in China. They might be but now he's putting tariffs on Canada, Mexico, China.
He's threatening Europe also.
He's threatening Europe. I mean, if it's unending, I mean, where is, except for bringing it back here, which is so expensive.
Well, and it would be a great thing, but that's not a weak fix.
Yeah.
We're talking about years in order to build back our manufacturing to the point where we don't need imports from anybody else.
Yeah.
That's a great goal to shoot for.
Which I still think.
It's not going to happen next month.
I don't think it's possible to get no imports.
Well, like, there are some things that we just don't have.
Yeah.
And especially when it comes to materials.
Yeah.
And mine materials and materials for cell phones and things like that. We just don't have them in this country.
Don't worry, Jane. Tariffs. Just say tariffs.
It's all going to fix it.
All fixed.
Earlier this week, Donald Trump imposed 25% tariffs on all steel and aluminum imports. According to Buckley Brinkman, who is the executive director of the Wisconsin Center for Manufacturing and Productivity, he said generally manufacturers work on a pretty thin margin. If the metal component is 40% of their cost of goods sold, they don't have the margin capability to absorb the new tariff. That will be passed along to consumers.
Wait a minute. That's not how tariffs work, Jane. Jane, tariffs work. The country charges, and the guy who's buying the stuff charges, and he pays it, and then I buy it at my regular price. That's what I was told. It's going to be fine.
That's not how it works.
Wait a minute. Are you telling me that someone lied to me?
That I would say yes. I would say
yes.
Oh,
boy, howdy.
Spokesperson for the Wisconsin Builders Association, Alicia Nalid, said in the construction industry, the steel and aluminum tariffs will primarily hit companies working on commercial or multifamily housing. This isn't necessarily a slap to the single family industry. They don't expect that those tariffs will continue to have a big impact on single family home building. But as she said, this is going to affect companies who work on commercial and multifamily housing developments. And we've talked about this repeatedly, about that's part of the crisis in this country is the lack of affordable housing.
Yes. And while it won't directly affect single family homes, the price of building materials like lumber have gone up exponentially since the pandemic. So it's, price hikes are going to affect everybody, but this one specifically is going to hit a specific market
sector,
but it's still going to cost a lot of money, which means the materials cost a lot of money. Construction costs a lot of money. That means these homes might not be available to regular Joe and John Q public.
Well, and think about it as well, that if the price of the materials go up, this means the companies won't be able to afford as many workers.
Yep.
Which in turn will slow down the work.
Yep.
Seems bad.
Seems like the not right thing to do.
Seems bad. She also said Donald Trump's announcement creates even more uncertainty for companies who are navigating international trade. Tariffs are a tax that drive up costs for consumers. And we've talked to this with other business people in the past. You know what business loves is uncertainty.
Yeah.
They just love not knowing what's coming and how their bottom line is going to be in the next 3 months. Nobody loves that more than business.
And the bigger the business, the more chaos they love.
Oh, they do.
Yeah.
It's just so good for business.
Shareholders love not knowing things.
25% tariffs on imports from Mexico and Canada expected to kick in next month. Canada and Mexico, by the way, Wisconsin's biggest trade partners. Canada bought $8.5 billion worth of Wisconsin exports in 2023, and Mexico bought $4.3 billion in state imports. This could have a big hit again on single family home builders, a bigger impact than even the steel and aluminum tariffs.
And that's just one specific tariff.
Just one area.
Just one area.
Mm-hmm.
And we're bringing it down to where you live, folks. This is a nationwide thing, but this comes down to Wisconsin. How does it affect your pocketbook? How does it affect what you're buying? How does it affect, you know, if you work in this industry in Wisconsin, someone explain to me why tariffs are beautiful, why they're the grand fix. Explain to me like I'm a 10-year-old because I don't get it how and why you're so excited about this.
Our brains just aren't big enough.
They're not. No, they're rotting away with liberal talking points.
CEO of Molson Coors, Gavin Hattersley, answered questions about tariffs during an earnings call earlier this week on metal tariffs. He says Molson has made changes to how it sources aluminum, and it now sources all aluminum used in products made for U.S. consumption from the U.S., which is great.
Yep.
Again, not every company has the ability to do that, and not all of these items can be made here or mined here.
Yeah. I mean, Michelle Tressler, who is one of the co-founders and co-owners of Hinterland Brewing in Green Bay, she was on Civic Media Morning with Dr. Lyerly on Wednesday, and they talked specifically about this point. She said that the aluminum tariffs affects every single can of beer they brew. Every time they fill a can up, they pay a tariff on those cans, and they have to then eventually pass those costs on to the customers.
Yes.
So it's your Molson Coors, that's great. You can afford to do that, but not every brewery in America can do that. And people love their craft beer.
And we're already seeing a lot of craft breweries going out of business.
Oh my goodness gracious.
This isn't going to help them stay alive.
No. No, but it's beautiful, Jane. Just deal with it. Accept it. It's going to fix everything.
We're waiting.
I'm waiting.
Hey, and once it does fix it, everything, we'll be the first ones to be crowing about it. I would love to come on air with great news.
Yes.
I really, really would. So if you have great news, and please just don't say that, hey, we cut $85 billion from the government. I want to see some documentation to back that up, as just opposed to Elon said it. Yeah, that's not quite good enough.
Show your work.
We have more on the way, including, oh, go away. Could you please just go away? You're listening to Matt Nair on air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Just don't know what else to do about it.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Believe it or not, it is once again time for Wisconsinites to head to the polls and vote. I know, we all have a bit of election fatigue after 2024, but the spring election primary is coming up on Tuesday, February 18th. One race that will be on every ballot statewide for the spring primary is for state superintendent. Incumbent Jill Underley is seeking another term, and two candidates are challenging her. Jeff Wright, superintendent for Sauk Prairie Schools, and Brittany Kinzer, an education consultant and former charter school executive. Kinzer's candidacy in particular is gaining steam. Her campaign reported raising more than $500,000, far more than what Underly or Wright have brought in. With that type of financial support, this could prove to be a more competitive race for state superintendent than what we've seen in quite some time. This is becoming a real race to watch.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
Hey there, this is Carrie Joy with today's Work Money Minute and a little bit of tough love about investing in collectibles. I'm going to say this as nicely as I can. Collectibles are just not good investments. Comic books, Beanie Babies, World War II memorabilia, American Girl doll stuff, they just don't math out as investments. Now, collecting as a hobby that brings you joy is perfectly fine if you can afford it. Just don't confuse the fun of the hunt with the potential for profits. And importantly, they are illiquid, meaning you can't turn it into cash in a pinch like you can with a real security like a stock. Now, I'm not saying you gotta stop collecting whatever you enjoy. Just make sure you're paying down your high interest debt like credit cards and saving for retirement. For more tips on saving more and spending less, search up Work Money Media on YouTube. Till next time, this is Carrie Joy saying, take good care.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. Jane Matt and Air, Greg Bach, Greg Bach.
There it is.
Is that how you... Yeah, that's right.
It's kind of a famous last name, but you know, whatever.
And Caliente on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. Join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. After the 10:30 news, Brad Schlaikowski from Courage MKE will be joining us to talk about what's going on and what he's hearing from the LGBTQ plus community. A lot of concern, I am sure. We'll be talking to Brad about that. After 11 o'clock, Department of Education, Linda McMahon, very experienced in wrestling. Slightly less experienced in education.
Stone-cold stunner, the problem with education. You get in there and be like, I'm going to tombstone you. Mm-hmm. Bah, 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 bah.
Ah! I'm not even sure what to do with that, but I like it. I stumbled on this, and I think this is important for us to keep in mind, because when is the gubernatorial election?
Who cares? Next year.
Not the gubernatorial. Yeah, the gubernatorial election is next year.
Next year.
Evers still waffling on whether or not he is going to run for yet another term.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Lake Sitting, axe-throwing California banker guy Eric Hovde.
You forgot loser.
Oh, that too. Again, cites debunked claims in questioning his 2024 election loss to Tammy Baldwin. This from Lawrence Andrea in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. In a video posted on Twitter this week, Eric Hovde raising doubts about the processing of absentee ballots in Milwaukee and criticizing same-day voter registration. Hovde claimed, without providing specifics, that's an important sentence.
Show your work.
Hovde claimed, without providing specifics, that a lot has come out since the election. Has it?
It has?
Where?
When?
A lot of people are very upset about what happened that night as it pertains to my race and feel that I may have been robbed. California guy lost his Senate bid against Tammy Baldwin by more than 29,000 votes, a little less than one percentage point. Let's not forget he refused to concede until almost 2 weeks later. Never called Tammy Baldwin
in
to concede.
In a video.
Yeah, he did it in a video.
Where he was also whining, sniffling, crying little loser boy who just couldn't deal with the fact that He lost.
And we didn't just feel like you get to have it because you're a wealthy white guy.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, and also for the fact, I do care that there's an election. I'm just tired.
We're all tired.
But yeah, he lost. That's it. The GOP has moved on. I don't hear hide nor hair of Brian Schimming, Robin Voss, any of the Reince Priebus, none of the higher ups in the Wisconsin GOP are
screeching about this,
screeching, waving their finger. It's just Eric Hovde in California in the sunlight.
But see, that's not what's important.
What's important?
What's important is that Eric Hovde comes out now with this. So for the next however many months, up until the gubernatorial election, he can start planting this seed. That's what this is about.
So I guess because one thing we did learn from the Hovde campaign, I just like to say Hovde campaign, is he is great at campaigning. I mean, he is so personable and human-like, and his ad campaigns are so full of joy and excitement. If he comes to Wisconsin, to the people of Wisconsin, with this on his plate of saying, like, well, I didn't win the Senate race because it was taken from me.
I was cheated.
So now I want to be your governor. Do you think the people of Wisconsin even want, like, I don't think that the Republican Party is going to allow him to be uncontested if he runs. I think that there will be a primary for governor. I don't think the GOP are going to want him.
Why?
Because he's
going to do exactly what they want, but which is what they want.
They can find other people to do it with less baggage and less whining. He's a bad campaign. They need someone of Wisconsin to shake hands with the people and really be there. He's not good at it. There are other people they can find who will do exactly what they want.
But what sets Eric Hovde apart is that he can help finance his own campaign, which is why they tagged him in the first place.
But he financed up to a point.
But still, that's better than some average folk in Wisconsin who don't have millions in the bank to throw into their own campaigns. That's why they tagged him for this in the first place, because he has money.
I don't think they're going to tag a regular person. I think they'll find someone similar to Hovde who's just better at this than he is, because it was his race to lose, and he lost it.
At the time, Hovde said he was shocked by the reporting of Milwaukee's absentee ballot results in the early mornings after Election Day. Little side thing here, Eric. Mm. Under Wisconsin law, and I'll say this slowly, absentee ballots can't be processed before 7 a.m. on Election Day. Republican-controlled state Senate in Wisconsin last year refused to take up legislation making it possible for clerks to start processing those ballots the day before the election and then finish counting all of the votes earlier on Election Day. So you can thank Robin Voss and Devin Lemahieu and Tom Tiffany and all those guys in the Wisconsin legislature, the Republicans, who refused to do something about this so they can come back to it and say, see, something hinky was going on.
Milwaukee.
See.
Milwaukee is just a hotbed of voter fraud. Well, for one thing, it isn't. Even, you know who said that? Ron Johnson said that last year when he went down to the central station and saw the counting and saw there wasn't a problem. He said there wasn't a problem. But you don't want to solve the problem. This goes beyond Eric Hovde. This is the problem of the GOP in Wisconsin. They don't want to solve the problem. If they solve the problem, then it's a problem they can't whine about like sniffling little babies. Eric Hovde, on the other hand, I mean, I think that this is this. I don't disagree that this will be his tactic. He's going to say, "I didn't get my way, so now I want this." I just don't know if Wisconsin will buy it from him and of the Republicans.
We still have people who believe the 2020 election was stolen from Donald Trump. Of course, this is going to work. He's taking it directly out of Trump's playbook, saying, "I was robbed. I was cheated." We're going to hear this for months and months and months. Mark my words. Leading up to the next gubernatorial election, we are just about out of time. Sorry.
There's precedence. Carrie Lake. All right.
News coming up next. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on air. This is the Vast Civic Media Radio Network.
News from the Center, WRCE. This is your local Civic Media radio station.
Want to hear even more? Anytime?
Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
For WRCE 107.7, I'm Joanne Krulotz. A proposal to expand Medicaid coverage for postpartum mothers is once again being considered in the Wisconsin State Senate. The bill would give low-income mothers a full year of postpartum Medicaid coverage, as opposed to the 90 days currently allowed. State senators heard testimony on the issues from medical providers Wednesday. Only one other state lacks the expanded coverage, which has wide bipartisan support in Madison. State Republicans are proposing legislation they say would add more transparency to the school referendum process. One bill would require local governments and school boards to provide information about the property tax difference on a median value home on the ballot with the referendum question. Another would prevent school districts from losing state funding if a nearby district passes a referendum. School ballot referendums have become increasingly common in recent years, with more than 200 proposed in the 2024 elections. Funding for new electric vehicle charging stations across Wisconsin is now up in the air just days after Governor Evers celebrated the first ones to open in the Northwest region. In a memo last week, Federal Highway Administration officials suspended the National Electric Vehicle Infrastructure Program, which was used to build the charging stations in the region. The freeze could cost the state nearly $7 million that had already been approved for 15 projects. The state had planned to award roughly $22 million for 53 projects in total. A pair of state Republicans are pushing for more nuclear power in Wisconsin. State Representative David Steffen and State Senator Julian Bradley each chair committees relating to energy and utilities and have introduced a resolution calling on the state legislature to publicly support nuclear power and fusion energy.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Forever Bros, Travis Kelce and Patrick Mahomes are coming under fire from Kansas City Chiefs fans for having a double date with their best girls, Taylor Swift and Brittany Mahomes, fairly certain it was in that order, just 24 hours before the Super Bowl. What? Word on the street is that Taylor Swift ordered a huge Kobe burger and French fries, and according to Chiefs fans on social media, that could be exactly why the Chiefs laid an egg in front of a worldwide audience while trying to three-peat. No idea what Kelce and Mahomes had to eat, but after seeing the way they played during the big game, I'm guessing it had lots of tryptophan. Irate Chiefs fans, most of whom I'm guessing probably never played in a Super Bowl, disapproved of the double date, insinuating that said date and hanging with girls so close to the big game was obviously the reason the Chiefs lost. If only Kansas City sports fans provided the two football players with this information beforehand. It just seems like a no-brainer to me. You can't eat 2 days before the big game. There's nothing funnier than irrational sports fans. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
A winter weather advisory starts at 2 o'clock and goes into the night. Snow, heavy at times, and breezy winds will blow and drift it around and make it hard to see. By this evening, a good inch or two should be on the ground, and with another inch expected to fall overnight, it continues into tomorrow, laying down another 1 to 3. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 8 degrees.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Marquette University professor and pollster extraordinaire Charles Franklin.
Deporting immigrants who are in the U.S. illegally. 60% support that. But when we ask the same question and just add at the end, including those with jobs and no criminal record, then support drops to just 43%.
Wisconsinites have a sense of fairness.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Hey, everybody, join us next time for a TGIF Friday edition. Our old friend Reed Galen, founder of The Union, will be here to talk about voter registration, how to be a voter, and we'll do a little What's Worse.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Caliente on the board, coming to you live from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up after 11 o'clock, we're going to talk about Linda McMahon. Lots of experience in pro wrestling, less experience in education. She wants to be the head of the Department of Education. Some interesting things came out during yesterday's hearing. And also, Vivek Ramaswamy has an idea for our kids in school that is somewhat reminiscent of an earlier program from someone on the other side of the political aisle that was not necessarily received with a lot of warmth, shall we say.
Yeah.
That's after the 11 o'clock news. Right now, we are welcoming on the phone, Brad Schlichowski is one of the co-founders of Courage MKE, Courage Milwaukee. Good morning, Brad. How are you doing? Thanks for joining us.
Good morning. How are you? Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. For folks who don't know, Brad, give us a little background of Courage Milwaukee and why you started and what your mission is.
Sure. My husband and I started Courage MKE almost 10 years ago because we were foster parents, and the kids we were fostering were teenagers, and they all came with similar stories of torment and rejection from group homes, foster homes, and other parts of being within the system. So in 2019, we opened Wisconsin's first group home for displaced LGBT youth that are in the social welfare system. And then last year, we opened a second house for those same kids that are aging out or already experiencing homelessness.
It's a bigger problem than most people realize.
It's a huge problem. They say of the amount of kids on the streets, 40% identify as homeless or as LGBT. I'm sorry.
And this is because either their families have rejected them, I assume.
A lot of them are, like 50% of the kids that come through our facilities are because their families rejected them, or they would have just been in the system because of neglect.
Which is so heartbreaking.
It's gut-wrenching.
It is. And I'm sure there may be some kids who've had good experiences moving through the foster system, but I don't think anyone considers that an ideal situation. And unfortunately, like you said, Brad, there comes a point with these kids, they age out of the system and you have to leave. And they're not necessarily equipped to deal with adulthood.
Not equipped at all. You know, the average length of stay in a group home, and that's kids ages 12 to 17, is 38 days, right? So every 38 days, they're being moved for some reason. Now imagine being a child that's been in the system since you're an infant, and you've been through foster homes, and then you get to the point where you're not a baby, so the foster homes always want babies, so you're going into group homes, and every 38 days, you're being moved because someone didn't like something that you did or said. It's so sad.
Well, and it's got to be, I can't imagine how difficult it is to not only establish a caring trust. I mean, just to set up a caring, trusting relationship, you don't even have enough time to establish those emotional bonds almost.
You don't have any time. That's why we're so proud that our average length of stay is around 230 days right now.
That's amazing.
So tell us, when your kids leave, and they're not kids anymore, they're young adults, but what kinds of stories have you heard from them once they've moved on from you?
We have a handful of them that keep coming back. My staff look at that as the biggest compliment of love, because it's still a safe place for them, right? They don't have very many of those. A lot of them don't go back to their parents to visit. A lot of their stories are, I'm sorry I was a jerk while I lived here, right? Because they grew up some and they had that self-realization. But a lot of their stories are, it's hard, right? Because you're in a system, you know, I had the privilege of having parents that taught me about finances, budgeting. You have to be responsible. You have to get a job. You need to know how to clean the toilet. And these kids didn't necessarily have that. So when they're at our house, we talk about financing. We talk about needing to have a job. We have chores every day and every weekend to make sure that they're prepared to be responsible young adults.
I'm just curious. So, Brad, how do you deal with the kids who's like, it's your turn to do the dishes tonight? And he says, nope, I'm not doing it. So what do you, how do you handle that? Or is it a case by case basis?
It is a case by case. That's the tricky part of operating in a trauma informed environment, right? Because everyone has different triggers. Everyone has different things that are going to set them off. I'll say that I don't know any person ages 12 to 17 that wants to wash the dishes. I can't even get my own kids at my own house to wash the dishes some days. So a lot of times it's not even about having trauma. It's about being a regular teenager. And that's one of our biggest missions, is folks have this mindset that anyone that lives in a group home is a quote unquote bad person, right? These kids have two things in common. They didn't ask to be there and they don't want to be there, right? So having that said, and then being bounced around like no one cares, and then you add where we're at in the world right now, where these children are literally wards of the state. Well, the state is the government, and though a different branch of government, the government right now is trying to erase half the kids that live in our house by saying transgender people don't exist. So these kids know that the people that are controlling and make decisions about their lives are our government. And the government is erasing them from existence.
Brad,
put that in your head as adults and try to process that, because I don't even know how to explain it to them.
Well, that actually, so I run an event on Wednesdays, and we have a trans woman who comes in for it. And I just kind of said, Willina, how you doing? And she said, I'd be great if my government wasn't trying to work against me actively. And like, I'm thinking about that, and she is an adult processing America right now. What are the young trans kids process? How are they processing this situation right now, with everything going on in their immediate world, but then also in the U.S. scale?
Well, I don't know if y'all know anything about Gen Z, Gen Y, and Gen Alpha.
We've had worse.
Brad, are you telling me that young children are upset about things?
They're upset. They're afraid. They don't know what to do. I mean, and I mean, they're the same words that I would use to explain my own feelings right now. You know, yesterday, mm-hmm. a national historic landmark, the Stonewall Inn, mm-hmm. which is operated now under the National Park System, went through their entire website and took the T out of LGBT of the Stonewall Inn, of which transgender people were some of the first people to throw a brick through that window and start the riots that give us the rights we have today.
Yeah.
It's astonishing to me that they assume that by removing a word from popular lexicon is going to make it disappear. That's like taking the word climate out of our scientific documents. If we just don't, if we don't say it, then therefore it does not exist. That's Looney Tunes.
I agree with you. Just as loony as, oh, you're okay with renaming a body of water, but you can't use someone's pronouns or preferred name. Because it's been the Gulf of Mexico since the 1500s.
Yeah, yeah. I made a comment to Jane today saying these are the same people who say, don't take down the monuments and the flags. It's about our history. Well, it's your selective history.
We're getting real selective now.
I love you guys.
If you're just joining us, Brad Schlaikowski is our guest. He's one of the co-founders of Courage Milwaukee, Courage MKE, and they provide a safe place and housing for kids who have either aged out or are going to be aging out of the foster care system, mm-hmm. and directed towards the LGBTQ plus community. I can't imagine what it's like, Brad, trying to reassure these kids, because as you said, this is if you're an adult and you're worried about mm-hmm. the same things.
Yeah.
So we're kind of implementing the same mindset that I have at my own home. Right now, I come to work and I talk about this nonstop for the last 3 weeks, right? But when I get home, I see my husband. We didn't see each other all day, and we give each other 1 hour. 1 hour to just vent and rehash this, what's happening through the day. And then after that hour, we're focusing on our kids. We're focusing on dinner. We're focusing on life. Because if we don't purposely make time to remember the good, it's just going to consume us. And 4 years is a really long time.
And honestly, that kind of, you know, that can also have an effect that takes a toll on your your children too. They see that, they see it wearing you down. They see the how what affects your attitude and your well-being, and they might think, well, that's how our dads process information. That's how I got to process. You know, that's a very smart way, Brad, of looking at it, is like giving yourself that moment, because that's your self-care, and then that that leads out to family care. And I think that's something we talk to people about on this show all the time, is that we know it's tough. We know everyone's going through hard things. Take those moments you need to take. Do that. Exactly. And then get back up and keep going with what you're doing, because you can't stop.
And you know, doing that also rubs off the right way too, because my son is six. Their Valentine's Day party is today. He was at school yesterday and another child said, that's gay to give another boy a Valentine. And my son said, no, it's not. It costs nothing to make somebody happy.
Oh, and he's six?
Six. So, yep, I'm going to raise my little activist and keep raising him to love people. Darn right. Because that's what we need every day. Because
that's the thing, though. He responded back with love. Yeah. A lot of little boys don't respond with love. They respond with other things, or they don't respond at all. But that was, love it.
I'm curious too, Brad, and unfortunately I'm already anticipating that your response is not going to be what I'm hoping for. Do families ever have a change of heart?
They do. We actually launched new programming at Courage last year that's community facing. It's called Plus You. And part of that are groups. It's not a regular support group like blah, blah, like we all think about. Mm-hmm. We're creating safe spaces for anyone that has LGBT kids in their life, parents, aunts, uncles, coaches, teachers, etc., to come and ask the questions that are in their head without judgment, right? Because I feel like if we create spaces for these people to tell us what they've heard or what someone has told them that has created some sort of mindset, we can change their mind. You know, we have seen kids from the Courage House go back home because we were able to work with them and their parents so that everyone understood who they are. I understand, you know, I have that conversation with the kids, like you came out to your mom, your dad is trans. That's an adjustment for them. And yes, their reaction in the perfect world would be like, I love you. I love you. I love you.
Right.
But we have to teach them too.
Well, and I think it's so important, Brad, that you said that you're creating a safe space where they can ask questions, because I think some of the backlash against the wokeness, and I put that in quotation marks, was I can't ask a question because if I ask a question, it might be offensive because I don't understand. Right. So therefore, I can't ask anything. And that doesn't help.
Right. It doesn't help. And we're in a time right now where we need to be those people to help. Because like I said, 4 years is a long time.
It's already been
3 weeks.
Yeah. Wait, you're telling me it hasn't been 4 years already? I feel like I'm 80.
Right.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah. We're going to continue our conversation with Brad Schlaikowski from Courage Milwaukee. If you have a question, text it in at 855-752-4842. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
This is News from the Setter, WRCE.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. While attacks on democracy norms ensue in Washington, state legislatures have also been busy. We have updates from Utah, Kansas, Indiana, and the contested North Carolina Supreme Court race. Voting Rights Lab reports that the Utah House is considering HB 300, which forces mail-in ballot users to deliver their ballot not by mail, but by hand to an official polling place where an ID can be presented. The elderly, disabled, and other voters for whom returning by mail is their only option would need to seek special permission. HB 332 would withdraw Utah from the Cooperative Electronic Registration Data Center, the subject of far-right conspiracy theories. The Kansas Senate passed SB 4, which requires receipt of mail-in ballots by 7 p.m. Election Day to count, rather than the current 3 days after. An Indiana Senate committee advanced SB 284, shortening early in-person voting from 28 days to 14 days, ending at noon the day before Election Day. The full Senate passed SB 10, ending use of school-issued student identification as ID for voting. In North Carolina, a district court judge dismissed a claim by a state Supreme Court candidate that in a race he lost by 734 votes, as many as 65,000 voters were ineligible. A federal appeals court may revisit it. We've linked the Voting Rights Lab tracker at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Every story matters, and the Civic Media Radio Network is celebrating Black History Month by honoring the powerful stories of Wisconsin's own trailblazers.
Looking at the road that was laid before me,
from civil rights to business,
food and like food trucks is just like a cool atmosphere.
Science to music.
Speaking of which, this is why I spit. Express sentiment, a lot of cats on here.
I'm Terry Barr, inviting you to join us right here for inspiring stories all month long.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Mayer on Air. Jane Matt Mayer, Greg Buck, the Board Lord, coming to you live from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. Join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. You can leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that Jabba the Musk continues to actively ruin. After the 11 o'clock news, we're going to be talking about schools. Department of Education, Linda McMahon had her confirmation hearing yesterday. Some interesting questions brought up.
She's going to body slam all the problems that come to her office.
That's right, she is. Mm. And remember Vivek Ramaswamy? Vivek's back. He was co-leader of DOGE for, a week and a half. That didn't last very long. Now he's chiming in on what schools need to do to help our kids. And it sounds shockingly like a suggestion that came from an earlier administration that was excoriated by Republicans. Shocking, I know. We'll kick that around next hour.
That's a great word, excoriated.
Excoriating? Do I get a point for that? Like
you
a
get
star
like four points for that.
Ooh, yay. Our guest is Brad Schlaikowski. He is the co-founder of Courage Milwaukee, located in Milwaukee. Great website, by the way, if you would like to find out more. It's couragemke.org. We will include that in our show notes. Brad, I wanted to ask you about your funding and whether or not under this second Trump administration now you are concerned about any funding sources getting cut off.
So that's a good question. I don't know. Right now, we're very grateful that we're not reliant on any federal funding. We have an incredible, our mission at Courage is to create a movement, right? Even though we offer housing, it's not about housing, but it's to create a movement. And all of our donors, we call them all Courage family. And we have this huge Courage family that are supporting us. So as of right now, we've been trying to, over the last few years, get federal money. But right now, there's kind of a deep sigh, a big, deep breath that we're not. Yeah. Dependent on it, but we are seeing that smaller grant providers sending out emails saying we're putting a pause or a moratorium on funding because we don't know what direction we're going right now. Yeah. So I am expecting to see some drop in funding this year, just not as bad as some of our peers out in the nonprofit world.
Well, and certainly, again, because already you're not dependent on federal money, which I'm sure is challenging in and of itself. But at this point, I'd probably say you're in a slightly better position than many other organizations who are dependent on those federal dollars.
Yeah,
I'd say you're right. Yep.
For the people who are, for the people who do support Courage MKE, I'm assuming not all of them are members of the LGBTQ plus community. There must be straight people who support you.
There is a lot of straight people that support us. You know, that, and that's what the movement's about. You know, when we started, Nick and I were going to every gay bar that we could think of that would let us talk about it to educate our own community first. But we knew in order to survive, we needed to expand beyond that. And there are some amazing humans, you know, this last year and really this year, we're focusing on getting out of Milwaukee. And that's why we're changing our name to Courage Plus in a couple of months here to make sure that we're covering and providing services to LGBT youth across the state and maybe into Minnesota and Illinois a little bit. But that's going back to that education piece, right? We want the non-LGBT community to be joining us in this fight. The LGBT community is screaming right now against this administration, and it's clear they're not listening. It's our allies that are the ones that are going to help us take this movement and make sure that we stay safe over the next 4 years. So the more allies we can find, the better.
You speak of education on that one, Brad. Moving out of Milwaukee, where it's, I don't want to say easy, but it's easier on the education front. People have maybe more open minds, more people in their lives who are in part of the queer community. If you're looking at like Western, Northern, Southern Wisconsin, who are you reaching out to, and this is, I'm sure, whether they're in the community or an ally, who do you reach out to help with that initial education of those individuals in the community to say, this is what we're doing, this is why we need your help, or at the very least, need your support?
Sure. Well, we created a line item in our budget this year to have satellite Courage employees across each quadrant of the state. So we're working with LGBT community centers across the state so that we can take our Plus U programming, which is that community group setting and education piece to each quadrant of the state so that we can hold these groups and have local people understand the local people.
So important.
Yep. With them.
Yeah, that's so important,
that's
Brad.
That's the part that that's the part we need help to fund, right? Because we added it to our budget, was never part of our budget, but we know it's so crucial across the state to get this education out there.
Well, and much like we've talked with different Democratic organizers, it's so important to have someone from within that community to be the one who is bringing the message, because otherwise you're seen as an outsider and you don't understand how things work here. And so I think that's really, really wise. We're just about out of time, Brad. We will put a link to couragemke.org in our show notes. If anyone wants to make a donation and help support your mission, they can do that via your website, correct?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And if you take a look at our socials, we launched our Embrace LGBTQ Youth yard signs yesterday. So go ahead and get one of those and we can get those out across the state.
Fabulous. Nice. Brad Schlichowski, one of the co-founders of Courage Milwaukee. Thank you so much, Brad. Take care. We will have you back on soon.
Thank you. I love you guys. Bye.
Bye-bye.
See you, Brad.
News coming up next. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt and Air on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
News from the Center, WRCE.
Let's rock some local music this weekend on Max Inc. Join us as we welcome Kaylin Cole and Lexi Liu, plus Yanni and Rocker will stop in for a visit. It's Max Inc. Saturday and Sunday evenings at 6 across the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Dom Salvia Show.
Inflation has to go down. How would you suggest your president address that? He's not talking about the cost for Americans. Hell, everything he's doing seems to going to increase the cost for Americans, starting with trade wars with Canada and Mexico. So if there is something positive out of this administration, let me know what it is. I would absolutely give credit where credit is due if I see it.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Vice President J.D. Vance speaking at a European security conference, urging leaders to stem the rising illegal immigration.
No voter on this continent went to the ballot box to open the floodgates to millions of unvetted immigrants.
He also says Europe is stifling free speech. At that conference today, Vance is also meeting with Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky. Hamas militants set to release three more hostages this weekend.
We understand that this exchange will happen tomorrow. It's expected to happen. Three hostages will be released. One of them, the American Sagi Dekel Hin, who, by the way, is a father of three children. And in fact, his youngest child was born while he's been in captivity. And so they're certainly hoping that he will be freed soon to be with his family.
ABC's Marcus Moore in Tel Aviv. Lingering storms leading to flash flooding across Southern California. This is ABC News.